Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. And if you go to that site, you'll find all sorts of content. All my podcasts are there, video links, and so forth. You are listening to the only Constitution show on air that is asserting the constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. And so this show is dedicated, as I have said several times, to supporting state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. And a part of this dedication is also to the county grassroots leaders where those state legislators are representing. I've kind of talked about this real relationship that is somehow disjointed in the party process. And I've kind of likened the change that needs to occur is very similar to what corporate America does. I think these counties have to start setting their strategies and their agenda and moving it forward. Sometimes you just can't go by the state GOP because it is too entrenched in the establishment, which means that over time, you have to clean up the upper levels of management because, and that's how you start, you know, getting these changes. But I digress. I'm going down another rat hole. And I don't mean to. The whole point is that getting the state legislators to actually stand up and commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny also means that they're willing to commit to protecting all of us from federal tyranny. Because as soon as one stands up in front of the Leviathan or that monster that we call the federal government, then what they are doing is they're standing up for all of us because, bottom line, it will have a rippling effect that will literally transcend the entire republic. And, oh, what a feeling that is. I do have, you know, that common courtesy thing that I ask if you want to call in. I just have these three C's I ask you to abide by. And that is, first, the first C is be confidential. If you know me, I refer to my name as GR. So that's what, just call me GR. I ask you also for the second C to be civil and that third C to be concise. So please call if you have the compunction or desire to discuss something regarding the Constitution. And I know I promised that I would have something to you for crowdfunding, and I have failed. And I plead my case that I am just way too busy to sit down and put the strategy together and everything else. So this another reason why I need help. And there go. I'm going to basically plea, if you have time and you can support, and I'm not asking for your money. As a matter of fact, for the past 2 weeks, I've been asking everybody to send what money they had, $5, $10, or what have you, to Chad Christensen. And I want to thank you again for those of you who had done this, because he did get an uptick, a surge in money in the last couple of weeks. He made a comment to me. He said, I wish it would have came sooner. And I go, I wish you would have committed sooner. And I would have gotten on the horn and gotten people engaged in supporting you a lot sooner. And he goes, oh, I get that. And so bottom line is, unless these state legislators are committing to very actionable items, they're signing a pledge that they're going to do these things, I'm not going to support them. I mean, I wish them well, and I hope that they do the, you know, right by their oath, that they actually stand up against federal tyranny. But if they're not adult enough to commit to that oath and very specifically what they're supposed to be doing, and this isn't what GR states. I went through this yesterday, and I'll go through it again today. This is what Madison and Jefferson were articulating the duties and responsibilities of a state legislator in regards to this Constitution. You have to understand, the true sovereigns in this republic over all things not delegated are the states. And when the states coalesce over those issues that have been usurped from them. There's no greater court, there's no greater power other than the Lord himself regarding all things, again, that are not delegated within that constitution, such as healthcare, such as energy, such as education, housing, all those things that the federal government is doing without the states delegating that power. The states have all the authority over that, and they can call them out and basically rebuke them for all those types of things. So if you have time and you want to support me in helping me fight this great cause, then just reach out to me. You can, you know, email me. It's info@reclaimingtherepublic.com, or actually .org. I'm sorry. Reclaimingtherepublic.org. Or hit me up on Facebook if you're already friends with me and say, hey, what can I do? How can I help? Or you can go to the Mobius Strip Press page on Facebook and you can put a little note in the postings just to say, hey, how can I help? And I will get back to you as fast as I possibly can so that I'm not the one-legged guy in a butt-kicking contest and I can get more help and so we can get more butts kicked, if that makes sense to you. Anyway, as always, and every day before this show begins, I with a prayer and hope that the federal government will disband all of its unconstitutional roles, or at least one. And so I looked, and I'm sorry to say there is no sign or news that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And once again, that means that the onus or the burden is upon us, the people, to get our states butts in gear, which means we need to do some more kicking, and which means that we need to probably start vetting and finding new replacements for those who we are sending in these primaries that we did not get a chance to truly vet. That's why this whole vetting process and this whole engagement process is broke the way the parties are doing it. That's how people with avarice and machinations can become, I will say, candidates and go into these seats of power, if you want to call them that, because that's what their interests are and that's what they're trying to do instead of seats of service. Because clearly, if you are in the public service, you are not doing something for yourself. You are doing this for those who have sent you. And so I will move on to my standing question. What or where in the Constitution? And oh, by the way, if you have a constitutional question, and don't worry, you could probably easily stump me. I don't know everything about the Constitution. That's right. I just admitted that. And I don't mind learning. So if you've got a question or if you've got some little tidbit or knowledge that you could share, then by all means, you can give me a call on Friday. I have kind of this open question Friday, so that would be fine. But those who actually have an inkling or an understanding or an idea on what and where in the Constitution is the line or the phrase, the clause that gives the federal government the authority to create and manage lands for the purpose of reservations. Now, again, these reservations could be for forests, parks, people, what have you. They are managements of land in states' boundaries that are outside what we would call the enumerated powers of land in Article 1, Section 8, and I believe it's subsection 17. Anyway, you're more than welcome to call. The lines are open, and that line to call is 215-867-8255 or 215-867-TOP-TALK, T-O-P-T-A-L-K. And so one more thing to throw out there, a little push or bonus for the Red Pill Expo. It is in Spokane on the 21st to the 23rd of June. I hope that some of you can take the time off to go to the redpillexpo.org, and it will have all sorts of classes. And they're also offering, if there's still some left, they're offering 350 DVD albums from last year's Red Pill Expo to those who are buying general admission or VIP tickets. So go online and get your tickets now. Get your plane tickets before you have to start booking last minute. And then 9 out of 10 people, just, it's not worth the money. But it's not that expensive, especially flying Alaskan Air. Regardless of where you're at, you'll probably find that that is a very affordable way to get to Spokane. When I fly in and out of there, that's what I typically use. There's American and other airlines, though, so by all means, use your favorite carrier. But with that, I will just ask you to look into coming to this Red Pill Expo. This is going to be a big thing. They're going to have all sorts of guests, and many of them, or a few of them, understand Republic Review and actually support it. Trevor Lawton, Tom DeWeese, and others. And so I know I'm coming up on a hard break, expecting to hear that. There it is. What that means is we're going to go and listen to some promos and a sponsor, and we will be right back after a word from these announcements. Thank you so much. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And where we left off, I was actually commenting on the Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 16, and that's what, precisely, I was right, that's precisely where you will find where the federal government has been delegated what kind of land and or property use that they can allow. And the reason why the states did this, and the reason why the Constitution confined the federal government to being able to control land very specifically, is because they understood that from England and from Britain, where they came from, the king and the crown assumed all property, and that he had forests and so forth. I mean, everybody understands the mythical tale, or the little urban story of Robin Hood. And there was a lot to that, that the sheriffs had castles, and the reason they had castles was to protect the money that they were taking to give to the king. You can't think of a more oppressive type of form of government when the government steps in and starts taking property and assuming all property. And that's precisely what they've been doing lately, and taking over farm properties and so forth as they come in and basically claim it's unfit and uninhabitable, a flood zone. There's species on there that are endangered, and now you can't use your property. Those things are federal tyranny and oppression, because those things are not delegated to the federal government within the Constitution, to be clear. So just wanted to provide that clarification for you. I hope you've already heard in the news, and I actually commented on this a couple of years ago, that the Obama-era weapons that are now in Al-Qaeda's hands, there was a story about this that was breaking as we were beginning to get involved in Libya, because NGOs were taking weapons and munitions, as well as vehicles and armed, weaponized vehicles, going into Libya, brand new stuff that was going in there, and it was going straight into Al-Qaeda's hands, which was actually being funneled over and shipped over to ISIS. And that's why when you looked at what ISIS was driving, it wasn't Urals and Soviet types of vehicles, the Yugo. Those were Dodge trucks, brand new GMs and Fords and so forth, with machine guns mounted in the back. And I mean, those were weaponized U.S. vehicles. And so they didn't just buy those from us. What ended up happening was they were supplying these to organizations as NGOs that were actually giving them. And there's a good story I read that connected the dot, or the dots, that basically kind of pointed to why Gaddafi was left without any form of security, so that he would not be tried, that he would basically be left to die in the streets. And that's what ended up happening, because he did not face justice as a tyrant. He probably would have squealed like a pig, pointing out that the U.S. was, you know, basically supplying terrorists and undermining his government. And so at least that's the article that I read, and I thought that that was a very powerful article. And I can't understand why this is still news. And I don't understand why we haven't moved forward on investigating those types of things. But then again, it's the deep state that is in control of everything. Or we hope not. We hope that things start changing. And the only way those things will change is if we take control back. And we have to control the states first. Therefore, this is a perfect segue into the four primaries that are running today. We've got one in Idaho, which I've been talking, if you look at my face online right now, it is blue. I've been talking about Idaho for a long time and trying to get people focused there. I wish I could have talked about Nebraska, and not that Nebraska isn't a great place, and it's not that they don't have great conservatives. I was hoping that I could get a better traction with Idaho. And anyway, Nebraska is running their primary today. Oregon is running its primary. and Pennsylvania. So we'll see who holds up in the primaries today. And I just want you to know that my prayers are with Chad Christensen, and I hope yours are too. I know that the one thing that I believe is that the greatest impact that our republic can have is getting at least one person onto the floor in Idaho. And that's the same thing with any other state. If you have access, inkling, a connection, or what have you to a state legislator, you want to introduce them to me, I'd be happy to help them understand their responsibility. And as I engage these folks, if they turn out to be a rhino, then believe you me, I am not going to just let that go unturned. What I promise you is that I will engage the chairs of the counties, because this is where we have to fight this. It is at the county chairs where they can actually become proactive in identifying these rhinos, these people that are out for self-interest purposes or for whatever machinations they have, whatever designs they possess. These chairs can then basically go through their ranks and find somebody that is better to replace this person and literally prepare that person in the next 2 years to have that person run to oppose that. And when you've got a grassroots organization like the GOP in the counties and doing this and working together, as far as I'm concerned, that guy's days are numbered, or gal, whoever that legislator is, guy or gal, their days are numbered. And the only thing they can do is actually start performing and doing the things that they need to do, which is calling for republic review, standing up to federal tyranny, and so forth. We have to start taking this very seriously, folks. Madison and Jefferson did not take a whimsical approach when they passed the Sedition Acts. And in comparison of the Sedition Acts and the four other acts that were accompanying that one act in 1798, that's pale in comparison to the housing and urban development, to the health and human services, to education, to all of these different forms of tyranny that we're facing today. The Sedition Act was nothing. I mean, they were going after, and they understood that what they were doing was infringing on the rights of the press and free speech. And that's big, but it's not like, you know, spending us into oblivion and all these other unconstitutional, tyrannical powers that they're throwing at us, and how they're penetrating are the nucleus of the states, the cities, the counties, and even the families. And so we absolutely have to start standing up. And that's why we need to start working with counties and getting these legislators to either do their job or get the heck out of the way, because we'll replace them. And that's moving forward. I'm hoping that we start doing a reset this coming November, to where the county chairs actually send notices out to those who were elected, first congratulating them on their recent election and or re-election, whatever the case may be, and then letting them know that these are our expectations. We expect you to do these things, and if you don't, we will replace you. And whether it's signing this commitment, and I'll get through those actionable items, but if they don't do these things, then you need to start working to replace them. I mean, it's just like an employer, right? The employer sets expectations, and your performance evaluation or assessment will be the election process. And if the county says we're going to find somebody else, then good. That's a good thing that the county is actually creating a drive or a motivation to political creatures who have their own self-interest strictly in, you know, at heart. And so I just found out that I'm at a hard break again, and I will get into the 32nd District of Idaho real quick, and then we'll move into those actionable items, and we'll do that as soon as we get back from the break. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so yesterday I was hoping to get at least one, actually before yesterday, and when I started off going down this path, I was really hoping that we would be able to get at least 5-10 state legislators in the state of Idaho to sign and commit to create a bigger noise within the chambers of these legislators. And with that, I have to take the blessing of the fact that we've gotten one. And at least one can start shifting the dialogue to its highest priority, which is focusing on the Constitution. And that is why yesterday and today I'm asking all to pray for those in the 32nd Legislative District of Idaho to place the interest of our Constitution and our Republic above all other interests. There is really nothing greater, because our liberties and our sovereignty hinges upon our Constitution and this Republic. And I'm hoping, again, and I'm saying, I'm praying that we can get Chad Christensen in to at least announce and talk that dialogue. I hope to have him actually on so that we can talk about what he's doing as he goes into his first session and how he is meeting those actionable items. And I'll get into those in just a minute. So I just also wanted to put a plug in that next week I am going to announce any endorsements that I have. I was hoping to do this a lot sooner. Anybody that wants to come on and commit, anybody that wants to sign the pledge to committing to supporting and defending the Constitution, then they will have my endorsement just like that. And as a matter of fact, I'm coming around the corner in a week from today. I will be identifying any in South Dakota and currently just trying to have a conversation with any of them. I mean, they're non-responsive. And the interesting thing is, if you go online, and I can send you the links if you want it. Don't necessarily want to burden you. But if you actually go and look at South Dakota and even North Dakota, you will find that many of the seats are unopposed, that there are no challengers. And so I will reach out to those county chairs in those states as well. I'm already doing that in one particular state because it is my primary focus. But in these two states, I will reach out to the county chairs and go, are you happy with this? Is this the best you can do? Because I believe you guys should be leading in saving the Constitution. And I am just remorsed with the fact that there is no competition, that you guys are willing to accept the liberal movements that are coming out of your states. I mean, I was really shocked about a month ago when South Dakota was requesting the federal government to create a sales tax enforcement bureau or agency or what have you, wanting to get them to make a ruling. And I'm going, that is going in the wrong direction. That is not towards, you know, state rights and states' liberty. They're literally just trying to pursue an avenue of revenue that their folks don't want to necessarily have to spend. And so people always try to skirt the system by buying off the internet or what have you. And people will continue to skirt the system as long as they see that what the government is doing is oppressive. Period. I mean, Adam Smith talked about that in The Wealth of Nations, that as soon as people feel like they're paying way too much for government, then government has gone way overboard. Anyway, again, the show's focus is on the importance of electing humble and strong legislators, regardless of the issues at hand. None have the dire consequences as federal tyranny and the loss of our Constitution. And so we are quickly approaching the day when the federal government will put aside the Constitution again for political expediency. They did this with Lincoln. They did this with Wilson. They did this with FDR. And they did this with Nixon. And as a matter of fact, if you don't believe me, I believe Jonah Goldberg's book, Liberal Fascism, talks about how they put aside the Constitution during the liberal era. And so when they do put the Constitution aside, if the states do not step in and stop that evil in progress, then it will be too late. And you better hope that you live in an area where sandbags will suffice, that that's all you need to protect yourself, because it won't take long for the impositions of global governance to start coming. And who knows, we'll probably be moved to a cashless society. There's some that are already calling for chips and so forth. I can't believe it, but I have read that there have been movements by states where they want chips and so forth implanted in people. So we are being moved from independent, sovereign people to becoming chattel. And if you don't understand the ramifications and how important this is in stopping this progress now, then I'm not doing a good job here, I guess. But understanding the Constitution and the importance of the ratification debates and how they're entwined, because as I've told you before, the ratification debates are the literal and the legal definitions of what is within the Constitution. The Constitution being a contract, that discussion of defining, clarifying, and identifying what these things mean in the Constitution makes them a legal part of that Constitution. So when somebody says the Constitution is all I need and they're holding up just the Constitution, then they are sadly mistaken, because that Constitution requires very clear definitions and demarcations on what the limits are and so forth. And that is not within that document. That's why you have to have the ratification debates to understand that. And so, as I've been talking about, and I've been teasing you all this time, I wanted to go through these actionable demands that I'm asking these legislators to commit to. And so the very first one that I ask, and this is what I'm expecting Chad Christensen to do, is to call upon his fellow legislators to join him in fulfilling their oath and duty of protecting and supporting the Constitution. That's not that difficult. That seems kind of ambiguous, but understanding what that means in supporting, defending the Constitution means that they're supporting what is in the Constitution. Anything that the federal government says that is not within that means that they need to repel it and they need to fight it, to be clear. And the next step, the second actionable item that I've asked him to do, is to author and or sponsor legislation of immediately commencing an audit of the U.S. government. In other words, they need to sit down and go through what the U.S. government is doing and compare and contrast that to the Constitution or the contract and say, oh, wow, look at all these things that they're doing that is outside the boundaries of the Constitution. Pretty clear and simple. That's what an audit is. And having been on a contractor side and understanding what an audit would be, we have to go through precisely the language of the contract and ensuring that we're fulfilling and meeting that. Because if you're not, then the government will come in and say, oh, you're violating the contract. We're going to have to fine you. Or they have other measures of reeling you in. And some of those things could be schedules. Some of those things could be just price. If it's a fixed price and all of a sudden you have to come back and say, hey, we need more money, then I can understand any stakeholder of the contract would say, hold it, you told me you could do it for this much. Now you're asking me that you... And so here's a good rat hole to go down. What do you end up doing if you have a subcontractor? Let's say you hire somebody to paint your car and they go down this process of stripping and getting it done, and then they start applying the paint, and they, all of a sudden the cost of paint went up because there's a little bit of gold flake in the paint that you wanted to use, and the cost of gold goes up, and he says, hey, I can't do this. And maybe he's the only person that can do that. What do you do? Do you say, okay, well, you have to do it for this price? And he goes, well, I'm going to go bankrupt if I do that. So I guess I'm going to have to go bankrupt because I'm not going to go into debt over this. And so what do you do? I mean, I think a good, noble, and a righteous-hearted person would say, okay, I believe you've been in good faith with me, and I'm going to have to, because I want this done, and I don't want to see you harmed. I think the good thing would be, as the stakeholder of the contract, would be, okay, I'm going to give you a little more money so that I can get done. And I'm sorry that you're not going to make any money on this, but at least you won't go bankrupt. And at least I won't, be out my car being stripped and not painted and not being able to do anything about it, because then I'm harmed. And so that way you kind of meet in the middle. But as you can tell, I'm at a hard break, and I will be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. it's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I'm working with key leaders and patriots and setting up rodeos for Republic Review in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. We're trying to promote engagement between you and your public servants so that you can start demanding their fulfillment of their oath of office to support and defend the Constitution. If you're beginning to understand what Republic Review can do and how it works, then America needs your help. More importantly, if you live in one of these states or know any patriots or patriotic leaders like an elected official, a grassroots leader, or someone who is politically active, then please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We know that if we can get a strong attendance by both the candidates and the electorate, we will make an impact. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this audit process started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And I just want to make a mention, because this has happened today and it's happened before. If you have the desire to call in like somebody did, and you come in during the hard break where you hear these commercials, just stay on the line and wait for those breaks to finish, and I'll be able to pick up, because I can't pick up while the breaks are on air. So my apologies, and if you want to call back, by all means, the lines are still open. And let me move back through these actionables. So I already covered the first two. The third one is once consensus for an audit reaches a majority, then Chad will bring forth legislation to the floor of both chambers for a vote, ensuring that this moves forward. And so once that happens and once it passes, and so once the legislative calling for the audit passes, so this is actionable item number four, then they will call to support or call for a news conference and basically asking all the available news agencies to come forth. And what they're going to do is they're going to announce the calling for the audit of the U.S. government so that their constituents know what's going on. Because it's important that they do not do this in a bubble, and it is important that they get you involved and engaged and aware of what is going on. Why? Because this will force the quick immersion of education on the electorate. And most people are going to go, what? What the heck is this? Are you kidding me? We could have been doing this all this time, and why didn't you think of this sooner? Because those are the things that are going to come out of this, especially the good patriotic states in these dark red states. What will end up happening is it will force the education to actually start moving out outside of that state. They're going, did you hear what they're doing? Wyoming is doing this. Did you know they could do this? And that's what I call cancer education. It will literally, just like the Ebola virus. What is Ebola? And people start getting pretty smart on the evils of these viruses and so forth. However, this is not an evil thing that we are going after. This is actually a huge first aid, or, you know, what do you do when you come up on a body? You have to do a triage. You want to start the breathing, stop the bleeding, and treat for shock. I believe those are the first three, you know, most important things you have to do. And that's what I learned in the Marine Corps. If I'm wrong, please call. Anyway, the fifth item of actionable actions that I'm asking these guys to do is, based on the audit findings, generate a resolution to nullify all unconstitutional federal government RRPs exercised within the state, and to call all RRPs out. Therefore, what they're doing is literally creating a list of all of these things are unconstitutional that they're exercising both here in the state and throughout the republic. And we're identifying these as unauthorized expenditures, because bottom line, that's exactly what this subcontractor is doing. It's spending money on things that they are not authorized to spend money on, right? Is not debt one of our biggest problems that we have? I believe so. And so the sixth and final actionable item is finally generate a resolution for promulgation to call upon all states in the republic to coalesce in a full audit of the U.S. government, referred to as Republic Review, and that audit is to use the Constitution as the measure. Why? Because if it's not in the Constitution, then it's something that they can't be doing. It's not a whimsical, well, do we want them to do this or do we not want? It's not about want. Is it in the contract? Because the whole point of an audit is to delineate what is contractually allowed and what is not contractually allowed. And therefore, going down that path, you can create a big pile of things that are unconstitutionally allowed. So they're not contractually allowed. In other words, they're spending money on things that they were not authorized to spend money on. And when you see this start moving forward, you will actually see some huge changes in America's debt clock. Instead of all of a sudden it being in the arrears, we will actually flip to green because as we stop spending money on all unconstitutional government and we actually are only spending money on those things that are constitutional, then we will find that, wow, that's hardly any money at all. And we're bringing in more money than what we're spending, because I'll tell you, what they're spending on defense is nothing compared to what we've got coming in. And with that, those are the six actionable items. Now, one of the things I wanted to do, because there was a Federalist paper I didn't get into yesterday, but I wanted to read this once again. And I know that I did mention that one, but I know I didn't mention this one by Hamilton. And he said that, but the encroachments, and you know, like I always say before I get into these, the question I ask, and I want you to think of, you know, this kind of premise in the back of your mind, whenever you read the Federalist Papers, whenever you read the writings of Madison, whenever you read the writings of these framers, and I have to put a caveat with Hamilton, because Hamilton spoke out of both sides of his mouth. And you have to look at, was this Hamilton pre-ratification of the Constitution? If it was, then he was speaking in the terms and aligning with most all the framers. I mean, he was in complete concurrence and agreement with the limited government and so forth of the federal government. However, as soon as the Constitution was ratified and as soon as he became the treasurer, the Secretary of the Treasury, then what he instantly started doing was saying, doublespeak, or basically saying, oh, well, there's these implied powers. There was no implied powers in the Constitution. And Madison was completely correct in refuting him and saying that those things are not implied. You cannot make up an implication. And that is why the Bill of Rights was quickly moved through so that the 10th Amendment would create that little safeguard in basically asserting. And what does the 10th Amendment say? I can actually pull that up because we have it here. And so as I pull this up, I will read this. But ambitious, and again, this is by Madison. So are these lies or what we're hearing from our progressives, from politicians, lawyers, and so forth, lies? And so, but the ambitious encroachments of the federal government on the authority of state governments would not excite the opposition of a single state or a few states alone. They would be signals of general alarm. Every government would espouse the common cause. And so the problem is we've been duped into believing that all of these things that they're doing are legitimate. And unfortunately, we haven't recognized that they've not only pulled the wool over our heads, but they've pulled the cotton, they've pulled the nylon, they pulled every type of fabric over our heads, and they're about to suffocate us. So what we have to do is we have to start sounding the general alarm, and Republic Review will be that process. But the 10th Amendment, when Hamilton went down that rat hole of saying, oh, well, there's all of a sudden these implied powers, and the 10th Amendment states that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And so there were certain things that were absolutely reserved to the people that the states did not relegate and or regulate of their people. Many states were really a laissez-faire type of approach. They, you know, only dealt with things of commerce and so forth. All the states, though, did have a state-recognized religion. Every single state in the constitutional republic at that point in time still had a state-sponsored religion. All 13 states had state-sponsored religions. And so those state-sponsored religions were basically receiving tax money from the government in providing education and doing whatever services, because that was the religion's job. That's what these religion or religious organizations and institutions were for, was to provide enlightenment and education. And that's where all the framers were educated, was in religious schools. Princeton, Harvard was a religious school. All of these schools that were early founded, the Ivy League or what have you, those were all religious schools before they became secular schools and before the state basically divorced itself from religion. And that was a very slow process right here in America. But that whole topic of religion in America would be a complete other show plus multiple shows. And I'm running out of time. Bottom line, my friends, I just ask that you consider praying for Chad Christensen, that we can get at least one person speaking the dialogue of Republic Review within the state chambers of the House in Idaho for the 32nd District of Idaho. And with that, I want you to know I am G.R. Mobley, and I'm doing everything I can to reclaim this republic. And with your help, we will reclaim the republic. And with that, I'm out of here. I will be back tomorrow. So thank you so much. And by the way, thank you again for listening, and thank you for supporting Chad. God bless.